Welcome, Mandarin Presbyterian Church. We are gathered in worship today via the internet. Even though we are scattered all over Jacksonville, we are still together. We praise God for this opportunity to live stream to you and for us to worship together even as we are separate. It is a wonderful time for us to realize that Mandarin Presbyterian Church has never been a building. We've always been a community of people. We've always been the body of Christ. And so we are the church, and we worship today. We've been in a series on the kingdom of God, the centerpiece of Jesus' teaching, a truth that is as relevant for us now as it has ever been, and an enduring truth that's so much bigger than this current corona crisis. To help remind you of what we have learned together and how it applies to our lives right now, I want to walk you through the symbols that have represented each week. So the first one we have is the U-turn sign. John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And because the nearness of the kingdom, because God's reign is available to us, we can change sides. We can turn our lives around and give our allegiance to God's kingdom, no matter what we have done in the past. Week two is the upside down castle, representing how Jesus turns the world upside down by blessing the poor, by blessing the meek, and washing his disciples' feet. It is an incredible blessing to have a king who would become a servant. And then week three, we see that God wants our hearts, not just our outward obedience, but wants to transform what's happening inside of us. The kingdom can be alive in our hearts. In week four, we talked about the Lord's Prayer, in which we're taught to seek his kingdom and to pray for his kingdom to come. And I think we feel that even more now as the chips are down a bit and we just lean into that yearning for God's kingdom to be manifest. And then week five, we talked about the inbreaking light of the kingdom. We talked about how the miracles and the works of God, the works of the church in this life, are like light coming from the outside, the heavenly realm breaking into the world in which we live. And then we got to week six, and we talked about the kingdom taking root in our hearts. The kingdom of God can go down deep, the parable of the soils. And that's when I shared with you the importance of spending quiet times with Jesus, with spending times in prayer journaling and reading his word, so that we can grow deep roots for the purpose of being able to endure through hard times. I think this rootedness is as important for us now as it has ever been. And then the wheat and the weeds. And Chris reminded us that Jesus is in the wheat growing business, not the weed killing business. And then we moved on to week eight, in which we learned that the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field that a man would come upon and discover, and then he would be willing to sell all he has to obtain. I said to you that Jesus offers us, "I will give you all of my kingdom that you can share in," but does ask us to turn over the keys to our own kingdom, that we can exchange being our own king for living in a much greater kingdom that's worth all that we have. And then we came to the scripture about the least of these, in which Jesus says that in the end, the king will come and treat us based on how we have treated those who suffer in our world. Then Jessica, in our very first live stream worship service, shared with us the importance that in the kingdom we need to be born again. Like newborn babies, we can be born of the Spirit. And then we learned that the kingdom now is like a rescue operation in which Jesus is at work rescuing us, but it's not always the rescue that we imagine in this life. And so last week we talked about Jesus being present with us, even in times of pain. And then finally, we look at kingdom future. That's our symbol for today, in which we as Christians hope that we can live into a kingdom that has no end. The kingdom of God, when it comes in all of its fullness, God will make all things right and take away sickness, take away death, take away despair, and bring in the fullness of his glory. And that's our theme for the sermon that we'll share a little bit later in the service. We are so glad that you're gathered with us for this experience. Some of you said that last week you missed me running around the stage when I preach. Well, there you go. I hope that you are happy. Hey, right now we want to invite all the kids to come down. Now, obviously, we wish that you could be here on the stage. We wish, kids, that you were right here among us. But you know what? We want to meet with you anyway. So would you just come right in front of the television screen? Just all the kids, you know, come on forward. You can sit in front of the screen. Pastor Jen wants to give you a very special message because we want you to know that you're part of the church and we love you and we're sorry that all your fun school and activities are canceled, but we're going to do our best to show you how much God loves you in this time. So kids, come on down.
Hi, everyone. It is so great to be with you this morning. I'm going to count to three, and then I want all of you to yell as loud as you can, good morning with me, all right? One, two, three. Good morning! It's so fun that we can keep doing that even when we're at home. So I want to start out with a true or false question, a question I'm going to ask you, and it's about me. So true or false? When I was your age, I spit on someone's birthday cake. If you think that is true, raise your hand really, really high. And if you think there's no way that I would spit on someone's cake, raise your hand high. I hate to tell you this, but it was true. When I was in elementary school, I went to my friend's birthday party, and all of us were standing around her birthday cake, and I took this big drink of soda, and I don't know if I laughed or I sneezed, but somehow all of it came out and sprayed all over her birthday cake, and the birthday girl was standing right there. I was horrified, because who does something like that? I was so embarrassed. But you know what? She had so many choices, the birthday girl, for how she could have responded to that awful thing that I did. She could have gotten so mad at me. She could have gotten upset and just run off. She could have told me that I had to leave the party and decide that she never wanted to talk to me again. But none of those things happened. When that happened, and I was just horrified, she forgave me right away. Her mom walked over and just wiped the cake off, and we continued with the party. She wasn't mad. She didn't make me pay for that. She just forgave me. Well, today, we are going to talk about a story that's about another party. It's a story that Ashley started last week about the prodigal son, a son that went off to a faraway land, and he did some bad things. And then he came back home, but his dad didn't punish him. His dad didn't get mad. His dad forgave him and decided that he was going to throw him a huge party. But there was somebody else that was invited to the party that was mad. That son had an older brother, and his brother was not too happy about the choices he had made. And he got so mad about what his brother did, he said, "I am not going to go to the party." He chose not to forgive. And here's the thing. When he didn't forgive his brother, he missed out. He missed out on all kinds of things. He missed out on the party and the fun that was happening. He missed out on being able to forgive and have a relationship again with his brother. And by not forgiving, he missed out on all of the joy that God gives us when we choose to forgive others. And so today, if you go after our service to our kids page of our website, we have a family experience there. There's a video that has music, and we'll tell this Bible story and have some questions so that you guys can dig deeper into this at home. So I really hope after the service you'll remind your parents to go so that you can hear more about that prodigal son and what it means to forgive and how important it is that we forgive others so that we don't miss out on everything that God has for us. So kids, I want you to put your hands together and bow your heads and pray with me. God, Thank you so much for loving us, each of us where we are. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that you forgive us and that also we can forgive others. Help us to do that this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to invite another very special guest to come and join us right now. And so Jeff Arnold, someone that I love very much and share a home with, is going to come and join us, and we have some announcements. So Jeff, come on down.
Good morning, everybody. I don't know about you, but that is the very first time I learned that Jen spit on a birthday cake, and I agree. Brittany commented she's glad that it was, at least it was not on purpose. Me too.
Yes.
But wow, I didn't realize that was like a time of confession that we just had here.
Impressive. It was an embarrassing moment for sure.
yeah, I bet. Well, this morning it's so good to be with you, and wherever you are around the world. In your homes, maybe still in your pajamas, or maybe even you took the time to get dressed up this morning. We're so glad that wherever you are, that you were joining us for worship. We want to get you caught up to speed on a couple things that are going on in the life of the church. One of those is Coffee Talk. This past week, we started that on Facebook. And so Mandarin Presbyterian Church, we went Facebook Live at 10 a.m. each morning, and we'll do so again this next week. I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow at 10 o'clock. If you don't have a Facebook account and you've boycotted Facebook, this would be a great time to create a coronavirus Facebook account just during the season, and then you can quit your account afterwards so you can join us for Coffee Talk. We would love to have you join us. Social media tips. During the season, maybe you feel like it's a crash course in learning about social media, but one way that we as a church have the opportunity to reach out and connect with other people is through social media. So when you share one of the posts that we have, other people have that highlighted and have the opportunity to watch that. So share the posts. We really enjoy the comments that you have there, the opportunity to interact as well. You can also follow the pages, and then you'll receive a notification to let you know when we are going live. So hope that you will be able to do that.
All right, and if you're looking for a way to connect, we have so many things that are going on through the week for you. We are continuing with adult small groups. We have over 30 groups now that are meeting with Zoom. And so if your group is not connected with that, or you would like to join a group and you haven't been a part of one before, we would love to connect you. So adult small groups, you would contact Jessica Conker. She would be glad to connect and hook you up with a great group for you. Also, we have a lot going on this week for kids and students. For preschool and elementary kids, like I said a little bit earlier, on our website we have a Sunday morning family experience, a video to watch, some parent things that you can read and do and interact with your kids. That will be updated every week on Sunday. We also created a Facebook group page called MPC Kids, and there's ideas every day of ways that you can connect our month's theme with faith at home. So we have a lot of ideas posted about forgiveness and how you can play and have fun with that and learn more about that in your own homes. Also, on our Facebook page, we are going to post this week our link for our story time. So every night, Monday through Friday this week, we'll be reading bedtime stories and doing a bedtime prayer with our kids. So we would love to have you join us for that. And we also are working in kids ministry to create a drive-through egg hunt, and that is going to start a week from today. And so we are going to post information and details about that on the website as well as that Facebook page this week. So look for that. And if you are a student, middle school and high school, your programming continues this week. We have Crave tonight for high school. Wednesday night will be Hang 10. We have Sunday morning things posted on our website that you can continue your dive-in and 908 content. So look on our website for that. We have Instagram pages up. And also, if you were in high school, we're going to do something a little bit different with D Group. Instead of being just for our sophomores and juniors, we are opening D Group up to all high school students, and we're going to move the day to Thursday. So you'll have another connecting point in a week. So look for more information coming out on that. So lots going on, lots of ways to connect and stay connected.
It's so great that in this season, in the midst of feeling like maybe that we just are trying to survive, hearing about all those things, it makes me realize how we as a church truly can thrive. And we are so grateful at Mandan Presbyterian Church that the church is committed to pay all of the employees throughout this process. And we just wanted to communicate that to you to let you know that that is our heart, and we intend to do that. Also, thank you so much to all of you who are continuing to give. Online giving is open, and you are able to give via the online platform if you would like to do that. Also, we are continuing to receive mail. So thank you to those of you who have sent in your tithes and offerings that way. And also, people can bring their checks by and drop them off into the church mailbox as well. It's actually a drop box in addition to a mailbox, so you were able to do that. Wow, that was
like
so good.
Demonstration.
Yeah, a little demonstration.
Yeah.
Very good. Wasn't anticipating that. So please continue to support and encourage us, because truly we want to thrive during the season. And all of us are being stretched to learn new things. And what a gift and opportunity we truly have to do that. But as we continue in worship, let us turn together and turn our hearts to God in prayer. Oh God, we are grateful for this day, and we are grateful for the love that you have for us. I thank you, God, for each person this morning that is watching and grateful that you love and know each of us to the core of who we are. God, thank you in spite of the flaws and the challenges that we face, God, that you are present and walk with us and love and extend forgiveness to us. God, I pray in this season that you would help us to be present to other people, that you would help us to love them and encourage them, that we might be a light in the midst of the darkness that we may feel around us. God, we are grateful for the opportunity that you give us to speak into other people's lives, and I pray that you would help us to do that. God, this morning I'm especially mindful of missionaries and our mission partners that we support around the world, and ask that you would be present with them as the way that they are doing things has been altered. God, I pray that you would help them to step up and allow your light to shine in and through them in powerful ways. God, this morning I pray for healthcare workers. I pray for grocery store workers. God, I thank you for the long hours that they are working, for the sacrifices that they are making, so that we can receive the care and the nutrition that we need in the midst of the season. Help us to be grateful and thank them and to let them know how much they are appreciated. God, I pray too, especially this week, for teachers. Teachers that are all of a sudden thrust into an online teaching platform and are learning new things, be with them. God, I pray too for parents who find themselves for the first time teaching their own kids from home and the challenges that come with that. God, I pray that you would give us an extra portion of patience, that we might be encouraging of one another and support and loving and caring for each other instead of the frustration and irritation that may be at the forefront of our minds. God, I'm grateful again for this day, and I pray that you would speak through Pastor Matt and the words that he has for us this morning, that we might think about the kingdom opportunities that we have before us each and every day. God, we are grateful for your love for us. Help us to love other people this week intentionally in who we are and in what we do and in what we say. We ask and pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, Matt.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff.
It's good to see you this morning.
Yeah.
How are things in the Robbins household?
They're going pretty well. Good. Yeah, fortunately, my wife has done homeschool before, so she's got a little experience, well, a lot of experience with it, and she's doing great. And yeah.
So you're off the hook.
Things are going okay.
You're off the hook.
Well, don't we're on TV. Listen
well,
to
it's left you a little more time to prepare the message this morning, and we are excited to hear that, and we will be listening intently, and I'm looking forward to seeing the comments that people have as well, too, as you're sharing with us this morning.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff. Right. Appreciate you. Well, good morning again. It is my great privilege to spend some time in the Word of God with you. My dad, when he reads a book, The stress of the suspense of the novel is too much for him, so he doesn't read a book in the way that you or I read a book. What my dad does to minimize the stress of reading the book is he reads the first opening chapters just to know who the characters are. And then what he does is he flips all the way to the end of the book and he reads the end. So he knows what happens in the end. And then that way he says he can read the book stress-free, knowing that things, you know, come out okay in the end. Well, that's what we're going to do today. For our scripture today, we are looking at Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, we're looking at the end of the story. And the hope is that by reading the end of the story and looking at that, that we will be able to live into this current stressful period with more peace. So I want to invite you, wherever you are, to stand for the reading of God's Word. So some of you may be maybe in your living rooms or out on a walk or on a boat or wherever you are, if you're able, I invite you just to stand with us as a way to just honor God's Word. Our reading comes from Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Lord God, we trust that this is your word and this is our future. It's into you that we hope. We pray that right now that you would use your word through me, Lord, through this camera, into the living rooms and the hearts of the people, that they may hear from you and be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. So the book of Revelation, it's the last book written in the Bible, written by John. And this is late. It's late in John's life. He's an old man, and he specifically has outlived probably all the other disciples. We think most of them, perhaps all of them, died as martyrs, and only John is left from the original 12. He's writing this book while on exile in the island of Patmos. So his punishment from the Romans for his outspoken faith was banishment, not to be killed or tortured as some of the other disciples, but instead placed in isolation, placed in exile, banishment. The Romans separate John from other people so that he will not continue to infect them with the gospel. He's separated from believers and from the church so that he cannot keep encouraging them. He's placed in isolation on this island. And so he's very likely lonely, like so many of us right now. We are also lonely. Right now, many of us are in a way exiled on our own private islands of our home. And we wish we could get together as a church. You know, I wish that right now this room was full of you. We wish we could see each other. We wish that we could just shake somebody's hand again. We wish we could hug again. I would be happy just to be within 6 feet of you. We want to laugh and we want to clap our hands and sing and we want to be gathered together as a community again. But right now we are separated by the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, which we support. We know that right now we need to be a part in order to help fight the spread of this disease. And I think that we all, in our isolation, we also experience some level of fear about the chaos that is surrounding us. We have not been through this before. So God gives John a vision in his exile that I believe will give us hope today. It is a glimpse of our ultimate future. What happens
at the end of the story. So in Revelation chapter 21, we read about the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, the city of God, which comes down and in which God and his people will dwell together forever. Later in the chapter, it explains some of the things about the city that we could look forward to. One of the things it describes is how huge it is. The dimensions of the city are, it's a cube with 1,400 miles on each side. So I did a little experimenting on Google Maps, and apparently what that city of God, if you were just to put it, plop it down right onto the United States, it would be stretch all the way from Miami to Mexico. It would go up to Wyoming, over to Toronto, Canada, all the way down to Miami. Huge footprint. And then it'd be 1,400 miles high, which is higher than the majority of satellites in orbit. So this is a huge city. I think the point of these just enormous dimensions is simply to communicate to us, there's enough room for you. There's enough room for all of us. It also describes the city as being incredibly beautiful. It's made with gold and amber and diamonds and sapphires and rubies everywhere. The gates themselves are made out of single pearls, at least 200 feet in diameter. The point of this is it's huge, it is spectacular, and best of all, God is fully present and visible. God's kingdom has come in its fullness. We've been speaking about the kingdom all these weeks together, both in Gather Church and then now in this corona diaspora we're in at the moment. We're thinking about the longing for this future kingdom. There's a song, a well-known Christian song that we often sing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" When I sing that with my kids at home, we have actually been inventing other verses, and we invented all kinds of other verses for the life of Jesus. Then we sing the traditional verses, but then it's always built to this climax that with my kids, when we sing this, we sing the end, a declaration, not a question, but a declaration. We say, "We'll be there in the fullness of his reign." That's the great hope of Christians, the coming of the kingdom of God. We will be there when with God and with each other in the fullness of his kingdom. One day, the kingdom will overthrow all that is evil in this life. Let's look at verse 1 together. In verse 1, one of the strange things, at least to my eyes, is when it says there will be no more sea. Now, here in Florida, we read that and we're like, what? No more ocean? No more beach? That's like our whole view of heaven. But let's think about what the sea symbolizes for John. First of all first century Jews, they were not seafarers. They were mostly not swimmers. And the sea was metaphorical for them to represent chaos and danger. The sea was thought to be that one part of creation not yet tamed by God in which chaos and danger lurk. And I think that we feel a lot of danger and chaos right now. And we're told here that one day that will end. One day we will not live in a world of chaos and danger, but the reign of God will extend over all of creation. We will all stand on firm ground. But secondly, let's also think about what does the sea represent specifically for John in his context of receiving this vision from God. John is in exile on an island. Everywhere he looks is the ocean. Everywhere he looks is the sea. He is quite literally separated by the sea from everyone that he knows and loves. His loved ones, his church, human interaction and friends. The end of the sea would be to John the end of isolation. We long for an end to our isolation so that we can connect with each other again. And the removal of this sea is not just removing of the connection between, the distance between you and me. It's also removing the distance between us and our loved ones already departed. One day that exile will end and we will all be united together in the kingdom of God. So right now we live in a world in which the coronavirus is closing and canceling so many things that we know and love. Schools are closed, Churches are closed, worship services are canceled or changed, parks and beaches are closed, concerts are canceled, restaurants are closed, social gatherings of all kinds are canceled, vacations and travel and pretty much everything that you have planned is canceled. And that's brutal right now. But Revelation tells us that God is going to strike back and do some canceling of his own. We read in chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." The city of God is huge and has plenty of room for you, but there are some things God says he has no room for in that heavenly city. On that day, he will say to death, "You know what, death? You are canceled." He's going to say to tears and crying, "Enough of that. We have no more use for you. You are canceled." He will say to pain and suffering, "I'm shutting you down. I'm putting you out of business." God will put evil and justice out of business. He's going to close them down. On that day, there will be no more coronavirus, no viruses of any kind. God will cancel them all. As Christians, we know the end of the story. Coronavirus does not win. God wins. His kingdom has no end. And we can live in this life right now, firmly anchored in the next one. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it to strengthen us and give us hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The band put together a song for us, and we're so excited to hear from them, a song that looks forward to that one day when God will make all things right. Let's take it away, guys.
One day there'll be no more waiting left for our souls. One day there'll be no more children longing for home. One day when the kingdom comes right here where we stand, we will see the promised land. Oh. One day there'll be no more lives taken too soon. One day there'll be no more need for a hospital room. One day every tear that falls will be wiped by his hand. We will see the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. There will be healing from this heartbreak we've been feeling. We'll sing in the darkest night, 'cause we know that the light will come, and there will be healing. Hallelujah. One day there'll be no more anger left in our eyes. One day the color of our skin won't cause a divide. One day we'll be family standing hand in hand, and we will see the promised land. We will see the promised land. Hallelujah. There will be healing from this heartbreak we've been feeling. We'll sing in the darkest night, 'cause we know that the light will come. There will be healing. Hallelujah. And there will be healing. Hallelujah. One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. One day when our tired and weary bones find their rest. One day when the power of evil's brought to an end, we will see the promised land. We will see the promised land. Hallelujah. There will be healing from this heartbreak we've been feeling. We'll sing in the darkest night, 'cause we know that the light will come and there will be healing. Hallelujah. There will be healing. Hallelujah. There will be healing. Hallelujah.
So grateful for the band being able to lead us in this time. Mm-hmm. We're going to come to the Lord's table now, celebrate communion together. So if you're at home, we want to invite you to grab some bread, grab some juice, or whatever you have that's closest to that. It was fun last week seeing what people were able to get together. Cinnamon raisin bread and coffee events I saw.
A lot of unique things, but certainly in the moment that made it really special. And, you know, the truth of the matter is it's what was at the table that they shared with one another. So whatever might be at your table this morning is certainly appropriate to be able to share together.
And we want to do this as a way to just testify that Christ is present in your home. Just because you're unable to come to this house, God is in your house. Your house is a house of prayer and a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we want to celebrate communion together. I want to share with you from Luke chapter 22, verse 16. This is Jesus is celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. And that's when he institutes communion, you know, for the very first time. And he says that he's longed to celebrate this Passover feast with his disciples. And then he says this, "For I tell you that I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Even on that very first time in which he broke bread and had the cup and talked about it being his body, he longed for the fulfillment of that meal in the kingdom. So last week, as we celebrated communion, we thought about that moment in which Paul broke bread and was celebrating communion on that prison ship in the middle of the hurricane. This week, what we're thinking about is this. We approach this table in the sure knowledge that it is a foretaste of that blessed meal that we will have with our Lord and Savior. When it comes to all of its fulfillment in the kingdom of God, we will eat and we will drink with our Lord. And so we partake of this bread and this cup in that spirit, longing for the fullness of the kingdom of God that will come one day. May it strengthen us and fill us with resolve and peace and hope for the road ahead. So on the night that I just described to you, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new understanding sealed in my blood, which is shed for you. Brothers and sisters, as often as you eat of this bread and you drink of this cup, you proclaim Christ's death and the promises that come with that until he comes again." Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this meal and for the reminder of the depths of the love that you have for us. We thank you, God, too, that it is not about where we are, but it is about your presence with us in this time. God, be with each of us this morning and help to remind us of our greater connection to the body of Christ that we find in this time together. We ask and pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
So we invite you now to take out your bread or whatever you have available to you at home and take a piece with us. Take and eat the body of Christ broken for you. In the same way, we invite you to take the cup, take and drink the blood of Christ, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. It gives life to the world.
Lord, we ask that you would just be so present with everyone in their homes. May they know you are with them, O God, and that you will carry them through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Invite out Bill to come. Thank you so much, Jeff. Bill, would you come and join us? And I really loved it last week when you led us in the doxology. And would you lead us again, please?
I'd love to. Let's all sing no matter where you're at. Praise God from...
Thank you so much, Bill. Now hear the benediction. God will see us through this coronavirus. He will strike back. One day he will end this coronavirus forever, and that will be a foretaste of his kingdom in which there will be no more viruses. For now, let us strike back in any way that we can. With social distancing and washing hands and working from home, but also by living as Christ in the chaos, by loving people, let us be generous. Let us not be hoarders, but sharers. Let us be kind. Let's go out of our way to smile, to greet. May we phone call people. May we text people. May we love on people in any possible way that we can. Let us be rooted and grounded in faith, and let us pray. And now may the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore. Amen.